Sounds like Lisa?
Yes.
Oh, hi, Lisa. Annette Neese.
Oh, hi, Annette. How are you?
Are we the only two on?
I believe so. I was first.
You well, isn't that something?
This is Roy Swilliger. I just came in.
Oh, hey, Roy.
Hi.
Annette Neese and Lisa Keelan.
How are you guys?
Well, I was going to drive over there today, but then I didn't see dragging the silly leg in the cab through the snow, so I'm afraid I'm here by phone.
Well, I decided I'd rather spend the time here in my office rather than to spend 2 hours going to and from. So.
Another good point. You know, every other meeting I had today was canceled except this one, so I thought, well, no need to drive over to St. Paul.
You're probably sitting at home, I suppose, Annette, by the fireplace, then just sipping coffee or something.
No, it's the disadvantage of living 6 blocks from work. I can always walk.
Oh, okay.
I'm at home at my kitchen table. I kenneled the dog at this time, so we won't hear him bark. I was wondering who had the attack dog. Well, it's a Labrador Retriever. He loves everybody, but he's big and he's loud.
This is Scott. I just joined.
Hi, Scott. It's Lisa.
Hi.
I'm on here. This is Roy. Scott, are you in East Prairie?
Yes, sir.
You should have come on over. We could have set my office.
Oh.
That's where I'm at, too.
That drive over and back is too much.
Yeah.
Is the road bad? I haven't been out there.
It's very slow going. Slippery and slow.
How much do we have so far? I haven't even heard an update. Well, it's been steady all day. It's still coming down. Several inches.
Looks pretty.
Yeah? Well, do we get to tease our chair about beating him on the line?
Oh, is he not on the line?
No, I don't think so.
Oh, okay.
Sorry, sir. He is a thing. He can't just beat us. I don't know.
He'll jump in at the last minute, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Did you people read the Minnesota poll yesterday?
Oh,
I did.
Saw what I expected.
Well, but it's the way the methodology, the asking of the questions. At least I wish the Minnesota poll would ask me to phrase questions for him. I think he did. Yeah.
Now, who's this?
Tom Rosen.
Oh, hi, Tom. It's Lisa.
Hi, Tom.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
What were the results of the poll, Tom?
Well, this is Roy. The headline is more misleading, but they start out by, I guess I think you should start out seeing, what the support is for the team, retain the team from Minnesota. I think that's overwhelming. And then as you go on, for the most part, it's positive. It shows several areas of very high agreement where they would think it would be okay for financing, such as, interest-free loans, et cetera. But then they continue to get back into this where they state funding instead of financing. And when you ask the question, should the public fund the stadium, that implies that you are taking money away from education or roads or welfare or whatever the particular feeling in the area is. And just popping it over, and rather what it is, it's a method. We need to be talking about financing of a facility or facilities by various means. Just like you finance a house, you don't fund the buying of a house out of your paycheck, so you finance it.
I think they have been incredibly misleading, even in the media coverage. I mean, giving people the impression we're going to write a check and stuff.
Yeah.
I think that's been a disservice.
I agree.
Sounds like
Don Curtis, my answer.
Hi, Don.
Hi, Don.
How did everybody survive the commute, huh?
Are you at home? Where are you at?
Oh, I'm at the office.
Yeah.
I'm at home.
Well, like, Lord, I'm at my office.
I'm at my office, Scott.
This is Jamie. I'm at our store.
You guys get a lot, Jamie?
Pardon?
You get a lot of snow?
It's still snowing here, and we've probably got 6 inches on the ground.
Okay, because I've heard that they closed the schools ahead.
Yeah, they closed in Albany and Melrose. They started 2 hours late in St. Cloud, but we're still getting snow, so I was feeling them closed early, too.
You guys need the moisture, right?
We need it badly. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can see ground here until this snow.
This is Rainy Wingold. I'm in Marshall.
Hey, Rainy.
Hi, Rainy.
Hi there.
Those things in Marshall. I can't hear.
Wonderful.
Hi, this is Roger Moe, and I'm at home.
How's things up there, Roger? Done good.
Oh, man. We got great snow.
That is why.
Great snow. I busted my shovel for nothing. Shoveling this morning. So.
As long as you're shoveling, not your back.
Yeah, that's right.
Good afternoon, everybody. Roger, I heard you. Let's just do a roll call of who we've got on the line. This is Dan McElroy. Cal, do you want to just...
I'm Cal Eichmann here at FOB in the State Capitol Complex.
That's the State Office Building, in case anyone is wondering.
State Office Building.
Jerry Rosby, likewise.
Cal Eichmann, State Office Building.
All right, then for those of you on the phone, just tell us who you are.
Lisa Dillon, and that's me.
That's it.
Jamie Beston.
Don Gertesmeyer.
Roy Sawyer.
Amy Ebold.
Keith Strand, I'm here too.
I'm Roger Moe.
Don Rosen.
All right, is that everybody? All right. I hope you all got the copies of the conference call agenda that were faxed out or sent by email. And then also a couple of discussion documents, some financing options, and some possible criteria. I want to make it clear that these are not necessarily recommendations, but rather options for discussion. And we would solicit additions, deletions, further text. But the plan, first I want to go through some of the decisions I think that we made on at our last meeting, and then talk about the financing options, then about the phasing issues, then about some of the things that may be criteria that we may wish to adopt. And wade in here and just... So the people in a physical meeting, we know who's who by looking at you, but for the conference call protocol, if you just give your name when you speak, and I'd ask those of you that are here in the State Office Building to do the same. But the issue that we, some of the issues I think we discussed is that there'd be a single bill for baseball, professional baseball and football may have different provisions, criteria, sections, but they'd be in a single piece of legislation. That legislation would not address the U of M stadium needs. Those would be addressed, we anticipate, in separately. That there would be a sports authority yet to be named. The fact that this is capitalized, I think that's the name of it, but I think we or the governor would need to suggest a name. Whose role would be to select a site, negotiate, and supervise the negotiations between the teams and the host communities, and to look after the general public interest, and then would have to accomplish this within a time frame. We use the term here disband, and that's clearly an option, or we also discussed at the last meeting that there may be language in the bill that would transform that into a permanent governance mechanism, or kind of evolve it into a permanent governance mechanism that would follow, or in part follow, the funding source. That's something we'll probably have to have a little further discussion on. And then the site function recommendations of the governor is that the submissions that we receive, those that we recommend are for baseball, Minneapolis and St. Paul, and for football, Blaine and Eden Prairie. We may want to have some discussion if how we describe that, as we say these are the recommended sites, or from the sites we've seen, these are the ones we recommend for further consideration. Can I get the, does that list accurately capture our discussion from earlier, from last week? And is my memory correct that on the third point we left open whether we definitely wanted a so that it couldn't go on forever and ever, but I'm a little unclear, my memory is rather, that it left open the option that a authority might evolve to a permanent governance mechanism. So the floor is open for other comments.
Well, it's just a change, and you know, I can't recall how much about it, but I think as we talk about it, and I thought about it after the meeting, it strikes me that to put an end date on that commission could be counterproductive if, you know, financially we end up having to face savings one person the next. And also, I think the example of that following the funding authority worked out pretty well the last time around. So I'm open, you know, I'm open to discussing that.
Andrew, what do other people think?
Mr. Chairman, Mr. Roger, I unfortunately missed the afternoon discussion, but as to the point of the sports authority, it would be my judgment that you would want a different group of people that help select a site, negotiate a deal, knowledgeable about construction, citing, all of that. That's a different group of people than you might want as a governance board later on. So I would put my two cents in for some sort of an authority that transitions into it morphs into a different kind of board after the time frame that you established.
And Roger, Dan McElroy, what do you think about the time frame? The issue has been the pros and cons to setting a deadline by which a deal has to be reached. I share some of Jamie's concerns that there are pros and cons to it, and I suppose it depends on how tight a deadline you set. But Roger, what's your feeling on a deadline for them to come to a conclusion?
I think that you need to, but then I would move that question also down to the bottom part of your page where it's sequencing. I would also tie that in with how we go about this. Again, I'll just speak my mind on it. I just think that you have to move the head on the baseball. I think that process seems to be moving along better. And if by some stroke of luck there's some success in that area, maybe that might create enough momentum to move to the second step. But I think that I don't know. Maybe it's Mr. Chairman, after you and I have been at these things so many times as we have, maybe you want to just kind of end it. But I really think you have to kind of set some time frame, force people into decisions. Obviously, a reasonable amount of time to get the necessary information facts that are necessary, but I think you have to get this process moved along.
Sure, Scott. I would agree with Roger's comments. And one of my concerns last week was that the citing element here does, with the sense of urgency that we outlined, the citing group does need to have a certain time period that it should get its job done. And then I think it's a different group of people that does the ongoing management.
Mr. Clarence, I don't know the disadvantage of having a timeline. It seems to me like it would be advantageous to have a timeline, and I don't know why we would not.
Okay. The risk is, I suppose, that as to when you set it. If you said that if they have to have a deal by September 30th of 2004, maybe there's too much to do by then, but there will be those who'd like, if depending on the decisions that are made about referendum, that would want to get to a referendum this year, of a sense of urgency. And perhaps you can have a deadline for a referendum that would be held this year and then another referendum if deadline of referendum is in 05 or 06, and then the whole thing goes away if you can't get something accomplished by September 30th, 06, or something like that. So there are deadlines, maybe intermediate deadlines. What do other people think on those issues? And if not, we'll probably draft the tentative report providing for that transition in governance, and we'll take a stab at some deadlines that people can then comment on. Senator Larson.
Yeah. It's Cal Larson, and I'm here in the State Office Building. But, Mr. Chairman, I think on the governance that that we have to have representation from throughout the state. That's really important to me. It's been a big issue with me on the Metropolitan Sports Commission. So I think that each congressional district should have representation on that governance board. And wherever the sites might be, you might want to add an extra member in that community or two. But I really think that, it's not the Minneapolis Twins or the Minneapolis Vikings, it's Minnesota. So I've always felt strongly that we have to have representation on that governance committee from throughout the state.
And Senator, you mean both for the site selection phase and then for the longer term policy oversight phase?
Yes.
Okay. Other thoughts?
Mr. Chairman, Don Gershman.
Yes, Don.
Question and then a comment. As I understand the way that they're lined up here, when we talk about a defined time frame, that would be after a bill was passed by the legislature?
That's correct.
Okay, so the bill would be in place. The Vikings would be able to proceed at trying and obtain their G3 money, and then this would occur. The Sports Authority Commission. Okay. All right. Now, that answers my question, and as long as the bill would be passed first.
Yes. The bill is needed to authorize whatever financing sources come to be agreed upon.
Exactly.
And to authorize the negotiation set up with the process. I think the thinking is there's still many deal points that would have to be negotiated before you could have a referendum or before you had a deal. We haven't fleshed out the referendum issue yet. But after post-legislation, following kind of the criteria format that was used in 78.
Mr. Chairman, and that leads to a question and a comment, if I may.
Yes,
and defined time frame, I strongly support that. It's for no other reason than the cost savings we would derive by at least having decisions made within a year or so, rather than, I've got a letter here from Krauss Anderson that outlines just the inflationary cost of delaying decisions 1, 2, and 3 years. Second question, who negotiated the XL deal after that enabling legislation was passed?
My understanding is the City of St. Paul and the teams, and that was a city-specific loan and came in as St. Paul legislation. The Metrodome was negotiated by the Metropolitan Sports Facilities Commission after the site was selected.
This is Lauren Stolper. A little bit of clarification on that. The St. Paul XL Center was all done, and the state did not have had to do anything because the people were all signed up to the City of St. Paul. They made all the decisions. We came in as a request of the City of St. Paul for the loan, but all that agreement was not for the City of St. Paul.
Senator members, this is John Jones here at SOB. If we could ask that you speak directly into your microphone or into your headset so that we could hear here at the State Office Building. It's coming in early. Thank you.
Yeah. Speak up as best you can on your phones, because even if you can hear us well, some people we can hear better than others as it comes in over this conference setup.
This is Lawrence Over. Did you want me to repeat that?
No, I think we could hear you, Lauren, but if you could speak up a little in the future, what you just said was easier to hear than what you said a minute ago.
Very good.
All right.
And this is really evil to Marshall. I guess two points. I think we should set a time frame, certainly for the Twins, but I think also this just is important to set it for the Vikings. And then I concur very much, concur wholeheartedly with Mr. Larson, that we need to get greater Minnesota through the representation, either on the policy site selection or on the governance, and I would say on both boards from greater Minnesota. I think that's where you're going to get the buyer.
All right.
Mr. Chair?
I've got one ahead of you here. Let me get Marilyn Porter, and then I'll come back to you. Marilyn?
this is just a question. How do you envision the work of this committee moving forward, whether it's two approval authorities or one? Would someone from this committee serve on one of those bodies?
I think that would be up to the governor, depending on how the the final legislation was passed. But if, for example, we were to follow the way that the original Metropolitan Sports Facilities Commission pre-financing, I believe those were all gubernatorial appointments, and I think it would be separate from this body. All right. Then, Clarence.
Mr. Chair, to the point about having much statewide representation, I would, although I think that that's important, I would be concerned about making sure that whoever pays the bulk of the money gets the bulk of the representation. Somehow, whoever pays should be the ones who make the decision.
In Clarence, I think it depends on the nature of the tax. And there's a difference between those who collect and those who pay.
Okay.
If it's a general sales tax, then local residents probably pay the bulk of it. If the choice is a hospitality tax or a city and district, then those who visit may very well come from the suburbs or greater Minnesota. Now, so there's some room for discussion, but I know that I've heard from Hennepin County commissioners and St. Paul City Council members that they share that concern, that if they are putting their tax authority as a principal source of financing, they want to, some say in the governance, the Greater Minnesota people would say that many of those taxes, if they're, for example, on lodging or rental cars, are paid principally by those who live outside those jurisdictions, or at least substantially. You know, you haven't debated how much. There was someone else on the phone conference circuit, and I didn't catch the voice.
So, Steve Stram, Mr. Chair, I was just going to make the point you just made.
All right. Anybody else? Let's move on and talk about the financing. And let me just kind of take you to a draft that you have in the packet. It's the one that's landscape and nature, and lays out kind of three general financing options. The broad-based revenues, such as the metro-wide sales tax or metro-wide tax on auto rentals, perhaps a gaming option. And then option D, the host community option, and option C, the 2002 approach, principally funded with arbitrage, although that also took a significant amount of local revenue to work.
Mr. Chairman, this is Lisa Kuhn. May I make a comment, please?
Please, go ahead, Lisa.
One of the things that Senator Lowe pointed out during our last conference call was that we do have the ability to pick and choose various elements. And what I was saying to that is that it does seem to me that having started with some decisions, that we need to make sure that the rest of the decisions are at least consistent with where we started or at least peacefully coexist. The concern I have about a metro-wide sales tax comes from the fact that we've already gotten very site-specific. We've narrowed it down to two sites for baseball and two sites for football. And I can't imagine if we're talking about buy-in, having come in with that degree of specificity, how a metro-wide sales tax would fly. I have a great concern about that. It seems to me that the communities involved for baseball, certainly both Minneapolis and baseball, have very fully developed funding plans. And so that's my concern that I start out with.
All right. Other thoughts?
I'd like to agree with that.
Okay, Mary Brainerd.
I just think that the likelihood of any approach being successful when based on a metro-wide sales tax is slim and low. I'm not a politician. I think it looks very unlikely.
Okay.
Would you say that again? You cut out.
I just think that the potential of actually being successful with any of the either ballpark or the stadium, a funding stream based on metro-wide sales tax is just not going to happen.
Could you speak up? Was that Lauren?
Yes.
And there is some problem. Once in a while, I don't know if anybody else on the line is getting this, but we get some real static sometimes.
Yeah,
I am, and it's interrupting. I can't hardly understand anyone. I'm getting it, too.
Don Gertzmeyer, it was happening before and then cleared up, and now it's back.
Exactly, yes.
And one thing is we're finding if any of us touch our microphones here in the state office building, it happens. So if I could ask people not to touch the mics, that helps. And then if we get a bad batch of it again, we'll have to reestablish the connection. But I think maybe it was coming from touching the mics here in the state office building.
Yeah, better now.
All right. Mr. Chairman?
Yes, go ahead.
And this is Ron Stolberg again. Let me just ask a question and then make a comment. The governor's support for gaming and as a source of funding, can you react to that?
Well, and I can tell you what I have heard him say in public, and that is that he would prefer not to see an expansion of gaming, but he hasn't absolutely ruled out that issue. You know, he basically said if it passed both houses of the legislature, he would look at it. But I know that that clearly isn't his first choice. And I think he would then ask if there was statewide support for a gaming solution, would a stadium be the first choice or the highest priority for that revenue? And I think, you know, that's a debate that we could have here that we would clearly have in the legislature.
Well, then my other comment would be, I think that we should be able to, as best you can, tie up the funding of those who benefit and those who pay. And going back to the 1997 bill as well, in each of the proposals that we saw, as I looked at the proposals, I think there were huge gaps when they came up with some sources that said, in effect, well, the state has to come up with a bunch of money and didn't identify where that was coming from. So I think we need to, as we funding sources, we need to have as closely tied to those who benefit from the state. And I'm even going back to 1997, where those that play in the facility help to, or if you attend the game, help to fund the stadium.
We're having the same breakup that we had before.
You heard some of it here, and it does not seem to be. There was nobody touching their mics. And so if it's interrupting, hopefully we can work through it. But maybe the technology gremlins out in the out there somewhere.
Mr. Chairman, we're trapped on the telephone line. I think it's somebody's call waiting. Somebody's on a phone line that has an incoming call.
Oh. So, can people disable call waiting then?
Yes.
That's a good thought. I don't quite know how to fix it universally. Jerry, did you want to be recognized?
Not on that point.
No, but on revenue?
Yes.
Or on financing?
I would like to keep gaming on the table. I think the citizens of this state have spoken loud and clear. Excuse me. I've talked to hundreds of people in the last month regarding this issue, and they said loud and clear they want stadiums, but they don't want to pay for expenses. And I think yesterday's Tribune poll bore that out, that over 70% polled said they would support gaming but no stadium. So I speak loud and clear in favor of gaming as a solution to the financing problem. I don't think taxing is going to work. And I think the governor would abide by that solution if he feels that the citizens feel that way.
Senator Larson?
Cal Larson and Mr. Chairman, I think he's absolutely right. I read the poll, and I think if we look at Senator Day's proposal for the Rufino out of Canterbury, we solved this whole issue, and I think we've got to leave that on the table because that's the best solution I see.
Mr. Chair, one of our earlier meetings, you commented that other states that have considered gaming have, by and large, not ended up using that option. Can you comment on that?
And it was actually one of the consultants, I believe, that said that, rather than my saying it.
And no, I don't know, you know, kind of on a national basis, why it hasn't been used. I'm looking at Bob Starkey. Bob, do you know why? But wasn't one of the consultants that said that? I recall hearing it too, Mary, but I don't believe I'm the one who said it.
It may have been
the gentleman from HLK who said it had been talked about all over the country, but he wasn't aware of any place where it had actually been used. Now,
Chairman,
Detroit has a casino across the street, but I don't believe it's directly tied. Mr. Bell, do you want to come down? Senator, go ahead.
I was relating a story of a conversation that I had with the commissioner of the National Football League, Mr. Tagliabue, who indicated that in all of the cities that looked at new stadium options for football, almost without exception, the first financing scheme they looked at was gaming, and almost to the same sequence, he said that's one of the first things they discarded. And it was a combination of things, is that you take one, which is a controversial issue, and you add a second controversial way of financing it. And secondly, and I realize you can put a firewall in here, but it's kind of a little messy when you have gambling as a source of revenue for the professional sports stadium. But I suppose we could put Pete Rose in charge of the
state commission.
All right. Mr. Bell, did you have something to add? Jerry Bell is at the table for those not in the room.
Mr. Chairman, the only one I'm aware of is that Baltimore and the state of Maryland has the gambling element in it. Obviously, it's not the ballpark or near the ballpark. The gambling funds go to the state, and it sort of launders there, and then a portion of those are used to help fund the ballpark.
Was that a newly created lottery? Is that what I recall? Is that the box that was raised?
I think it was newly created. Yes.
Yeah. All right. The jury said he thought the governor would be okay with gaming, and I'm not sure that I agree with that. I think he is quite torn. And it's also proved to be a fairly difficult issue to get through the legislature. And so perhaps I'd like to hear from the people in on the committee as to whether that's one option. But it does appear from the proposals that we saw from a number of places that the combination of team contribution, fan contribution, and local option taxes will work. And I think that's an option that should also be discussed in our report. Mr. Hightower.
I was just wondering, with option two, the arbitrage plan, is that a standalone option?
Not really. It's an ingredient. And very honestly, people ask me all through this process, do I still like it? And the answer is it still has some merit. However, the kind of newly emerging idea that you may be able to lawfully use tax-exempt financing if it's not an arbitrage plan, if it is some of the other approaches, might make those more attractive because of there is some interest efficiency in being able to use tax-exempt debt. And kind of the practical ways of doing that have evolved in the last few years. There are half a dozen stadium transactions around the country that have been able to meet the IRS requirements for using tax-exempt debt. And so there might be some arbitrage element to it, but I think it always required another funding mechanism, and it may be a little less attractive than it because it takes taxable debt that has a higher cost. Other comments on what options should be in your report?
This is Rainy Diebold, and I guess I would love to do gaming because gaming just seems so easy. It just would be a simple solution. I think if we put gaming as our number one financing option, that the discussion will absolutely break down. Although it seems easy and attractive, and I don't mind it being our second option, I think we should struggle with the first option. Mirage of gaming discussion and why gaming can't be used for other types of funding like our state deficit. So I don't even want to go there.
I think what we'll do is draft some options for the report and then continue this discussion on Thursday when we're all in the same room and we can take show of hand votes it is cumbersome to determine consensus on a conference call. There was someone else who wanted to be recognized.
You've got to answer the question. Are we going to discuss this farther and get a face-to-face vote, voted up, voted down thing? And how many numbers of financing plans should we recommend? Do you want to get us down to 3 or 2 or 5 or what?
Tom, I think that's a good question. I thought what I'd hope to do in this conference call is figure out what we should have decision point votes on Thursday. And I'm beginning to think perhaps there are 2 general options, and then we either leave to the governor or the legislature or further discussion here in more details. But one might be an approach that used a combination of team down payments, fan contribution, and local option taxes. A second option that I'm hearing some support for may be team contribution and gaming, or team contribution, fan involvement and gaming. And, Rini indicated that perhaps we take a vote on first and second choice or recommended option, and then indicating there is another option available. Tom, that's sort of the direction I was headed.
Are we going to rank them 1, 2, or 3?
We certainly could. Or perhaps just 1 and 2, depending on how many there's committee support for.
Commissioner Dunbar-Smeyer.
Don, go ahead.
Quick question. Now, we're talking about gaming and metropolite taxes and... wherever the stadiums land, I mean, they all got a little different take on how they want to do it. And it would seem to me if a local elected official, be it city council or county commissioner, these are recommendations. We're just saying these are the things we think that are available out there. Is that what our recommendations as they go forward would be?
There's 2 options, Don. One would be to provide a menu and say these are the choices. The other would be to be more specific and say these are the options, and of them, Governor, we recommend whichever one you recommend, or we think there are 2 are viable, A and B, and we like A better. We can be as specific as there is reasonable support today.
Got to.
Yes, Scott.
When you went through that listing of options, you did not mention interest-free state loans. Is that intentional, or was that...
Well, that still has a cost. You still have to pay the debt service someplace. So that could be a detail of the financing mechanism.
Okay.
But you still have to pay that $100 million in interest from something. And paying it from the state general fund is an option that I know the governor would not approve of. He has been very clear on that.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
This is Lawrence Goldberg.
Yes, Lawrence.
And if you give, a $180 million interest-free loan, you got to come up with $180 million. We don't just write a check without having that in the bank.
You'd have to borrow it and then have a source of paying back the debt, and that's why it takes some method of debt service. And when Scott said, is that in the mix, you could be negotiated, but you got to have a way to pay the annual debt service. And I think that would have to come from one of the other mechanisms we're discussing, and it may not be the efficient way to do it.
That's correct.
Mr. Chair, this is Jamie Benson.
Yes, Jamie.
I'm also concerned, we talked about allowing some of the local plans to just go through in their entirety, for example, if either St. Paul or Minneapolis are selected. But all of these proposals come up about $100 million short, if I recall the financing situation correctly. So,
2 of them do. There's various needs for other money.
Right.
But okay. They haven't been negotiated yet either.
Okay. So we, regardless, even if we decide to propose the local funding options that are part of the proposals as one of our options, are we not under some sort of obligation to at least make suggestions for how to come up with this shortfall?
My suggestion, very honestly, is to follow the model in a variety of other cities where there's a role for the fans.
Mm-hmm.
And for football, there's a fairly strong track record of using what are called permanent seat licenses.
Mm-hmm.
And just as an example, and to flesh it out for people who aren't familiar with it or for the people who are listening, And it has been done for baseball, but it is not nearly as large an opportunity. It would be a smaller part of revenue in baseball. But the theory, I think, is that if there's an argument for doing that, the most ardent fans, or those fans who attend most often have the biggest fan investment, have a perhaps disproportionate benefit. And a concept is that a fan who wished the opportunity to buy a season ticket, a club seat, a suite, or a suite ticket, particularly those in advantageous locations in football, a 30, 40, 50-yard line seat or a club seat, would make a capital contribution by buying a permanent seat license from the stadium authority. And only those fans who had bought a seat license could buy season tickets. And if, for example, in a 68,000-seat football stadium, 50,000 of the seats required a license, and they were on a sliding scale so that 10-yard seats had a relatively small permanent seat license cost and a suite or a suite seat at a larger amount, but they averaged a cost of $2,000 per person, and you sold 50,000 of them, I believe that's $100 million. And I think that is at least a place to discuss to fill that gap, and it moves it from state government to the state community. I want to make very clear that there is no model in baseball that gets anywhere near that amount of money. Some suite seats might have licenses, club seats, some very advantageous boxes. But because there are so many more games, because the percentage of season tickets sold is smaller, it has a different level of leverage for baseball.
Dan, this is Lawrence.
Yes, Lawrence.
Please
go ahead.
Doesn't that, in effect, also increase the cost of the season ticket sold to the fans? And therefore, probably not sell as many, or to a different clientele.
And certainly that's debatable, Lauren, but in lots of cities across the country, and the most recent have been Green Bay and Pittsburgh, they've been successful. Originally, people argued that it would only be done in cities like Nashville or Charlotte that hadn't had football before. But I think the argument is, why do you do this as a why should there be a public subsidy or public involvement? And a big part of that is for the fans. And I don't know exactly what a football season ticket costs, but a $2,000 one-time investment seems to be a reasonable contribution to capital. It could also perhaps be structured so it's paid over a couple of years during the construction period, although that makes it more complicated to collect, potentially more cumbersome. But, if you think about it, 65,000 people view a game live, more than 1 million people watch it on television, but those who watch it live choose maybe a higher level of participation. You know, in some scenarios, that's an asset that can then be resold. If they want to sell their ticket at some time, they can also sell their license. That varies depending on the model chosen at various stadiums across the country.
Commissioner, Jamie Dustin?
Yes, go ahead, Jamie.
I just wanted to add, by way of bolstering what you just said, that I believe, if I understand correctly, that Mike Kelly said they are, in fact, at this point, capping their season tickets at 60,000.
He did say that. This is Lisa.
And
so,
was it 50,000? 60,000.
Right.
All right, so the number that I threw out, they may have season tickets in the end zone, and it may be that you didn't charge much of any of a license for the least advantageous seats, and then you had a sliding scale, but that's all can be worked out with the teams and marketing departments and the authority. But that's the concept. It's very large to tell.
Mr. Chairman, my fear is that I think, the Twins and the T-Wolves and the Wild all make some provisions so that it's affordable for parents to take their youngsters to the games. Now, I haven't seen that with the Vikings. They that's a little different group, and I think there has to be some stipulations in there that it's affordable for the lower income people. The Wild sell, I think, 300 seats a game at $15 a ticket, and the Twins have lots of promotions for young people and are great in supporting amateur baseball. So I'd like to have some stipulations in there that it's affordable, and also
that the connection with the Minnesota Amateur Sports Commission be in there so that the utilization of some of those facilities are going to be permissible with amateur sports, high school, and so forth.
And Senator Larson, I think that's an example of what might be included as a criteria, the details of which could be negotiated. I don't think that, particularly for baseball, that conflicts with seat licensing in terms of the very most advantageous seats. I know the teams have concerns kind of on two fronts. One is it's a marketing challenge with their best customers have to pay something, although I kind of have the philosophy their best customers also benefit, but also a concern about what other stadium revenue the authority or the legislature may set it. I think the balance of stadium revenue should stay with the team to make the very large down payments that we need in terms of naming rights, beverage pouring rights, advertising, all the other revenues available. The one thing I think is a different relationship is between the fans and the decision to construct the stadium.
I'm just wondering, where do we balance our thoughts on financing with the proposals that were submitted? You know, if there's a customer like a Minneapolis who's saying, let us do a county deal and get it done, versus the Metro, where do we balance that versus the proposal?
Good question. I think the legislature and the governor may struggle with that, too. I think it would be useful for the group to hear your opinion as to which of the funding sources proposed you think would be good public policy and would be workable. And if there's some you don't think are workable, you should say so. And I think we try to find those that are workable out of those that are proposed and that the majority of the committee agrees with.
Even if the proposal does not include that workable solution?
We made pretty clear in the request for submissions that we reserve the right to combine ideas and take the very best pieces from Plan A and adopt it in a recommendation for Plan C. And that's why we said that the material isn't copyrighted or trademarked and that it becomes in the public domain. When you put ideas on the table, they get used in a variety, potentially can get used to make the best cocktail, the best combination of ideas. That's very great.
Mr. Chair, as I look at the financing as options as outlined here, it looks to me as though option B has a lot of what I would be looking for. But I just want to understand one more time whether there's a reason to look at metro-wide tax on auto rental or alcohol, which are those taxes that are slated to disappear, if I'm right, or be reduced. After 2005. Is there a reason to think of those any differently?
I don't think so. I've had an opportunity to talk to the governor about that a little bit. And there isn't a connection between those and stadiums, for one thing. He wants to learn a little more about the legislative history as to whether it was the intention of the legislature those taxes were to go down or whether it was part of a recodification to take care of the streamlined sales tax issue. And the intention was that they would stay at this level, but they'd be collected differently.
Mm-hmm.
We hadn't made any commitment, but there'd be a hard argument to ask the question, if you continued those taxes, why would there be a connection with stadiums?
So understanding that, if we were looking at something pretty close to option B and gaming, is that kind of what we're headed towards?
Well, not me. This is the piece of you, and I see those as very separate issues.
No, I think perhaps, Mary, helping, you're seeing those as the two options
right.
for discussion.
Right.
Okay, that's different.
Yeah. But not a combination of the two.
Exactly.
All right. Other thoughts, and then I think what we'll do is frame those up for a vote when we gather in person on Thursday when I can see your hand.
Mr. Chair, Lon Colbert.
Yes, Lon.
Do we have the ability from staff to, on Thursday as well, have the numbers associated with each of those?
You can certainly have those back. We have those. Yes, we'll have them for you again.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
Rosen, I got one comment.
Yes, Tom, please.
Gaming, I can't believe I got one comment, but gaming, I really don't think Roger Moses and Warner, really don't think it's an option. I just don't think it's politically able to get done.
Right. let's, I think that will be a key question, because we want to, having learned from Mr. McCormick at our first meeting, we want to adopt or recommend legislation that if presented and if passed, we'll actually get a stadium bill. But let's have that discussion on Thursday when we take a vote. I'd like to move on to the next bullet, which whether the committee thinks that you should set a cap on the government financial support. If one of the criteria should be that no more than X million dollars would be publicly provided and the balance would have to come from the team and the fans.
Mr. Chairman, this is Lisa Phelan.
Yes, Lisa.
The little bit of concern I have with that is that it's entirely appropriate for the state legislature to be to cap what the state will spend. I mean, that's part of their responsibility. But I can't particularly imagine, for two reasons, telling local communities what they should be doing. Number one, I'm not so sure that's appropriate as a matter of public policy. If you have local elected officials who are on the hook for that, it seems to me that they're the ones best situated to determine what they should do. I've lost my train of thought. I'm so sorry, but that's my first concern, is putting a cap on the local expenditures. I don't know why it seems to me that the state would do that.
All right, what do other people think?
John Griffithmeyer, I agree. I raised that point before, and I'm going to raise it again as far as the maximum contribution. It seems to me that we lay down too many firm directives to both the legislators and the local elected officials. I don't know how you negotiate with a bunch of locked-in parameters. So I think we need to be careful when we send this on down the line that we don't allow them the flexibility to negotiate the best possible deal for the city, the county, and the state.
Mr. Chair, I'm not advocating a maximum contribution, but I am concerned that what happens is we end up pitting the cities against each other and almost letting the teams off the hook, and then the fans end up paying more. So